Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson, Rob Ensley, and Joey Pyburn on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, and Ray Marine Electro.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle, streaming live on MyNorthWest.com. Don't forget about the live video feed on 710sports.com, and of course, the venerable TheOutdoorLine.com with blogs, podcasts, and so very, very much more. Morning, Joey Pyburn.
Good morning. Is that Canadian Chinook I smell on your breath?
Eh?
Eh?
Eh? I got to cross the border.
You did.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we have relatives in Abbotsford, and I got to see my, you know, Uncle Neil and Aunt Jean. Hadn't seen them in a long time. I smuggled some smoked salmon over the border to them.
I don't know if you should say that.
Probably not. So, but it was in my stomach, so I got
yes.
No, anyway. But it was just so wonderful to get up there. We, you know, and just, you know, even the drive up there. I mean, when's the last time you cruised up the freaking Guide Meridian and shot across the border at Sumas and got to see them? And then, you know, so, and that's the only reason I freaking, you know, got poked. And so it was to just get up there. And I hadn't been to the Queen Charlottes since Matt and I and Jeff Palkoa went to, you know, the west side of Haida Gwaii, you know, before the great unpleasantness. Mm-hmm. And just, man, I tell you what.
And what was the, so what's the process? You drive up to Vancouver?
Yeah. So it's really simple. For anybody that's had to go on a commercial flight, especially lately here in the States, that travel out of the South Terminal at Vancouver is just, there's no Homeland Security, there's no nothing. You just, you drive in, you park in the parking lot of Landmark Air, mm-hmm. right? And then you just grab your bag, you're limited to 25 pounds and a carry-on, which is, you're only there for, you know, basically 3 days.
Yeah.
So, which is easy. Throw it over your shoulder, you walk in, hi, how you doing? And then you're sitting in this big executive lounge and they got snacks and refreshments. And then okay, hey, it's time to jump on our flight. And so super easy flight, about an hour and a half from Vancouver, which, you know, Richmond, to Masset, which is kind of the north tip. So if you look at the Queen Charlotte Islands or Haida Gwaii, the very top of the island is almost like an upside down U, right? And so that Masset's kind of on the right side inside of Rose Point. And then you just, it's like a 15-minute helicopter ride to the lodge. The lodge is, Peregrine Lodge is amazing. The whole experience was just wonderful. Kathy had a great time. The guides, the boats, everything's better than what I'd experienced before. And, mm-hmm. and the cool thing was we got up and it was a clear day on the first day and you could see Prince of Wales Island. And I waved at Robbo. He did not wave back.
Really?
You can see Prince of Wales. Yep. So that's just across Dixon Entrance. And Dixon Entrance is this 30 to 40 mile expanse of.
So if you were looking at the southern end of Prince of Wales, you could see where I shot my bear.
Just about.
Right there.
Yeah, right about there. And so then on the last day, we actually bounced a little bit farther west. And you can see Langara Island from there, you know, the legendary, you know, Langara and everything. And so the guide we fished with, Craig Mumby, worked at Langara for 13 years. He says, dude, it's actually better fishing here. Because the thing about Langara is there's that whole fetch from the south end of the island that comes in and just can blow you up if it's from the south. But you're in the lee so much, so the water's calmer too there. Mm-hmm. The halibut fishing is way better. I mean, I am looking at this now. You know, here we sit on Labor Day weekend, which I'll get to in a minute. But, you know, our listener trip on June next year, June 19th through the 22nd, you know, and so we're already under a year here to get this thing figured out and get up there. And there's so many guys that have been up there with us before and put in their, you know, their deposit. And so which is still good. So anyway, we'll talk more about that. But the whole Haida Gwaii deal is just, it's amazing. And a great way to cap off, which for us was a really, really solid Chinook year.
Yeah. Great year.
Yeah, it was. And so we sit here on Labor Day. I hate Labor Day, dude. I really do. Because, you know, the Northwest Outdoor Report is just full of closures, right?
Yeah.
You know, Graben's closed, the Columbian's gonna close, you know, Area 7's not gonna open, which we're gonna get to in just a minute as well. But, you know, but then the thing of it is, if salmon season was all year long, it'd kill us.
Yeah.
It would absolutely freaking kill us. And I know you're going as hard as you can because there's so many pinks right now. Everybody's buying all this bait, and there's pinks and coho that are just eating people out of house and home in Puget Sound.
And then also all those Chinook that are going up the Columbia are starting to funnel into those tribs.
Yeah.
So it's eggs, it's prawns, mm-hmm. it's coons, it's still herring. I mean, you know, it's full tilt boogie for us right now.
Right.
And it'll continue on till October.
Right.
You know, we're going to have a massive run of coho down there. We are having it right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like the cowlitz is going to get upwards of 100,000 coho.
That's crazy. And they bite down there.
Oh,
and they
buyers.
Bite bait. They yep. really bite well.
They're egg eaters.
I mean, with respect to what we, you know, have around here in our local rivers, you know, you can kind of get them to go on this and that first thing in the morning.
They're
and
finicky.
Twitch and, they are finicky.
They're
tough to get to go.
Yeah.
Then you got to resort to the Dick Knight deal, which, you know, come on and call it what it is. It's kind of a floss program, mm-hmm. you know. And but, you know, the down at the Columbia, man, they are egg band. They'll bite egg clusters, down on the cowlitz. And the cool thing about autumn on a cowlitz is you don't know what your next fish is going to be. It could be a steelhead. It could be a Chinook.
Big Chinook.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd Daniels goes down there and does that fishery, and, you know, he catches. That's what he said. He's like, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You're hooking up these beautiful, nice, fat coho. Next fish might be a 25-pound wild Chinook that just tears you up, and you're catching them on steelhead gear.
Have you ever done that hover fishery thing off the mouth of Tootle? You know, that – we used to go down there and do that quite a bit, and it's a gas. I mean, it's like mooching. So you know, you got the typical cowlitz cocktail deal where you got a, you know, egg and sand shrimp combination, both of which you're intimately familiar
mm-hmm.
with. The
yes.
latter more so than the former lately. But so so you're mooching this thing just about vertically up and down, right? And so you just kind of hold in place, and the electric motors there kind of coming into being, you know, at you know, when I was doing it down there, but. It's so much fun because they'll grab it, and it's just so much similar to mooch and herring vertically. You know, but it's a kick in the pants.
Well, and that's what guys are doing right now, like up towards the mouth of the like the Klickitat.
Sure.
I think, right?
Yep.
Steve from Procure invited me to go Sunday and Monday up there, and I sent a bunch of sand shrimp down for him because he couldn't find any. They're up there doing it right now. I talked to him 2 days ago. They're kind of like limited out and done by about 8 o'clock.
It's fast,
and he said you're just hovering.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a trout bite.
It is.
Tick, 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 tick,
and then you just reel it. You just reel. You don't necessarily jerk on them. So anyway, just kind of run through a basic landscape. What's going on here? Victims of our own success, of course. You know, we told you last week, Area 1, Ilwaco closed. That caused something of an effort shift up into Westport.
Mm-hmm.
So Westport, we're getting Labor Day weekend, and then
that's it.
It's going to be gone. La Push actually closed yesterday. So La Push is not open today, which is, you know, a bummer because we kind of had that, you know, in years past, there's been that little La Push bubble where you could get back out there. We're not going to get that this year either. But anyway, I mean, we're up next to recreational closures. Then we've kind of been talking on the Lower Columbia about the Thule situation, and specifically Canada made some concessions, you know, in conjunction with the Pacific Salmon Treaty, to let a lot more of these Thules go under the understanding that we wouldn't open fisheries and
hammer on them,
and the Canadian savings would amount to more eggs in the gravel, not more fish in the box. And a lot of anglers down in the Columbia didn't really heed those concerns about not harvesting wild Thules. Okay, and so, you know, we should let those suckers go. You know, keep the hatchery Thules. That's fine. But we went right up against the impact number on the Thules, which are a Lower Columbia. If you look in the literature on the Columbia River Management, you see LCNs, Lower Columbia Naturals. And they've always kind of been one of the constraining stocks with regard to what's going on down Buoy 10. So we're up against those to the point where the river on the 7th is going to close from Tongue Point to Bonneville.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So down below Tongue Point, you still have the Buoy 10 control area is going to be open for coho.
And is that just because most of those Thules have moved through?
So we're so tight on the impacts. If we harvest more of those Thules, you know, even up to Bonneville, that would drop back. Because there would be some that would swim back upriver and then fall back down and get into their creeks. Even their lower, that's why the closure up to Bonneville, because that's how tight they are. So the thinking is, you know, and according to Ryan Lothrop, who's the regional manager down there, they're hoping that we can get enough passage, you know, to get a Coho closure pot, or excuse me, a Coho opener
later
this month. So that's kind of what's going on down the Columbia. So guys are pissed.
Yeah.
Speaking of guys being pissed,
who would be pissed?
Oh, man. So sat in on a conference call on Thursday, and WDFW basically just laid it out and said, look, we're not opening Area 7. So now we have come to the point where Area 7 has been open for 7 days. And you could argue that there was more commercial fishing days in Area 7 than there was recreational days. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. Well, there's definitely probably more commercial caught Chinook
right.
and Coho and Pinks. Obviously Pinks, because there was never a opportunity up there for Coho and Pinks for the sportsmen. Yeah. I mean, I know there were a lot of seiners and gill netters up there, and I don't know if they were in 7 proper, but they were definitely in that Bellingham Bay fishery, sucking them up.
Yeah, no question.
They kind of wiped that thing out for the sportsmen.
So we'll be digging into this, but it's you know, the situation right now as it is in Area 7 is as bad as anybody's worst nightmare could have been. Mm-hmm. So
I never would have thought we'd get 7 days of fishing in Area 7.
You think about it
as
quick, you know, as early as 4 or 5 years ago, we had a winter season, you know, truncated somewhat, but you know, still, dude, we had a winter season, right? You know, it was generally, you know, January, February, March, or December, January, February, something like that, right? We had something, so we had, you know, there's 90 days right there. And then a summer season that, you know, was generally the, you know, open the first, and then we had a Coho opportunity, you know, after July 1st. And so now 7 days in Area 7. Mm-hmm. Which is pathetic because geographically it's one of the largest marine areas. It's one of the most popular marine areas. It's absolutely one of the most scenic marine areas. So, and it had the smallest quota of all the marine areas in the state of Washington. And now this is, you know, to protect some stilly hatchery fish. So, you know, we'll dig into this a little bit later, and I think at some point, you know, we've got to kind of look into this and dig into this a little bit more, because I don't think WDFW is doing a great job crafting opportunity right now.
Nope.
And it's hard. It would be hard for anybody to say, you know, to take the opposite stance on that.
Yeah. Well, and not just Area 7. I don't agree with a lot of what's going on. You know, we're going to lose our saltwater opportunities September 19th.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
There's already a bunch of Coho out there. Look, we had way more Chinook than
was forecast. Yep. And so
I know some gentlemen who are down fishing deep, running some gear that's probably, you know, what those Chinook want. And they said there's more Chinook in Area 10 right now than there was when it was open for Chinook. So we're going to have all these Coho flood in here, and we can't fish for them in the salt. The Snohomish system shuts down on the 19th.
Yeah.
So where's our opportunity?
Right. Yeah. And then, so yeah, I mean, we got all winter to grind on this, but right now we do have an opportunity for increasing numbers. We are not even close to the peak of this Coho run. I mean, we sit here on Labor Day weekend, and I remember Labor Days where nobody's uttered the word Coho, right? And so we've got good numbers of Coho. If you can't go to your local water and find a pink right now, you're not looking very hard. I mean, it's...
Look in your bathtub.
Yeah.
There's probably there's one in there. I was out, you know, running the shrimp boat a couple of days this week, and it was flat, glass, calm. It was beautiful. The mornings were amazing, and I was out there in the dark, watch the sun come up, and on my way back in, running from Kamano back to Everett, the water was just like glass. And I could look out in front of me, you know, 100 yards, and I'd see this disturbance, you know, and it was just massive schools of pinks right under the surface. And I'd run my boat, you know, right beside them, and you could just see them all shoot down. And they're all over out there, everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Kathy and I went for a paddle on the kayaks last night, and pink,
yeah.
Pink. Yeah. So lot there is lots to fish for, and so we'll fish for them until it's time to do the show in the wintertime, and then we can complain about it. We got a great show for you, though. We are going to talk a little Columbia River with Matt Chandler at Get Hooked Northwest. Robbo, one last time from Prince of Wales Island. Got a chance to spend a little time on the phone with him yesterday, and kind of wrapping up his season, getting things dialed in. This is going to be a shock. He's working on his boat.
I talked to him yesterday, too. He was cleaning his boat.
Yeah. Well, you have to, because there's always that one herring that does not improve with age.
Well, Robbo cleans that boat.
No, I know he does.
He takes very good care of his boat.
And then we're gonna pop over to the Yakima. We're going to Ellensburg. We're going to talk with Joe Roeder, Red's Fly Shop and Canyon River Ranch.
Joe's a stud. Coming off, he just killed, him and his boys went up in the hills and killed a really nice bear, and that guy's just a stick. Great fly fisherman.
And as things cool down, they get increasing hatches again. Mm-hmm. You know, October caddis and everything that's, you know, going to be popping over there. And the river's low enough right now, the Yakima is. It really lends itself to wading and fishing, which is just, it's a wonderful way to kind of do it yourself on the Yakima. So Joe's going to talk to us about that. And pheasant releases start this week, too. Over there.
There we go.
There you go. A little cast and blast in central Washington. So, all right. Now, let's just say you don't have downriggers and you need to catch a pink, okay? We can get them on a jig. We get them on bait, and you're going to get them in 90 seconds here. Now, meanwhile, load up that text toy, 710-710, powered by Yamaha Outboards, 866-979-3776, locally 206-421-3776. That is the Reverse Shine Hotline, brought by Wellcraft Duckworth Northwest Boat. Pinks without downriggers. next, here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
From the shining shores of Puget Sound to your radio, this is the Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle. Matt Nelson behind the glass right there. That's Joey Pyburn to my left. I'm Tom Nelson. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Pork up, and let's get through this Labor Day weekend. This is kind of a group counseling session. It's the BER months have begun here. It's hard, man.
It's hunting season.
It is.
Come on.
It is. I know.
Listen. I'm ready. I'm ready to be done.
I know you are.
And I know you hate to hear it, but I'm ready to not fish for a while.
Okay. I understand. I'm not over it. I'm not over it. And
you know what today is? Today is the opening of early goose season, Tom.
It is.
All those filthy Canadian geese who have taken up residence on our golf courses are going to get hammered today.
The putting green poopers are
the poopers
are in
on
for
our dock where the boat is moored.
Yeah, boy.
One of those geese down there, one of those gooses. Filthy gooses, probably weighs 35 pounds.
Yeah. Oh, easy.
It's a monster.
And you know what? They're yummy.
Oh, they're
they
yummy.
Are. They're very they yummy. Are. All right. So listen. If you're still fishing your Chinook rods, reels, and gear, including downriggers, to catch pinks, you could be having a little bit more fun, Joey.
Definitely. Yes. I went down to Bayless's house, and he said, look, those pinks are fine for the boys. Already, he's a Chinook snob.
Oh.
He's like, those Chinook or those pinks are fine for the boys, but it just doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, pish posh.
Yeah. And I looked up at the rods in his rod holder on his boat. And I'm like, well, get rid of those. He had a Buzz Ramsey rod. That's what he's running. He's running that Buzz Ramsey rebar rod.
Oh.
And I'm like, get rid of those things.
Why are you fishing halibut
bust
rods?
Bust out the steelhead or trout
Bingo.
Gear. And then, get rid of the downriggers. Go out and target those fish like I'm seeing out there.
Yeah.
Those pods of
finners.
Putt along real slow. Get in front of them. They're moving. They're just cruising around out there. And then flip jigs.
Yeah.
Buzz bombs, spoons, anything pink out there, and I'd have a bunch of different stuff. Those little curly tail.
Yes,
that's
the cool thing about those in saltwater. The little curly tail grubs are, with respect to like just a straight pink buzz bomb, they work, but they go down through the water column. Anything with more drag on it like that, like those curly tail grub jigs, will descend through the water column and stay in the strike zone longer.
Yeah, because those fish are up high.
Yes, they are.
And you're going to go through them really fast.
Right.
If they're suspended, even like little tiny, those little jigs we were using for greenling.
Yep.
Little tiny,
yep.
Like Point Wilson dart jigs. And they doesn't necessarily always have to be pink. They like chartreuse.
Yeah, they do. They're like orange.
Orange.
Yep. They're like white.
And some days you can't catch them on pink.
Yeah.
You got to go to something like a chartreuse.
Because
or orange.
What is everybody. What is 99%?
Yeah, they see a lot of pink.
They do. They absolutely do.
They've seen a lot of their buddies ripped out of the water.
There
by
goes
something
Harry.
Pink. No, but yeah,
Margaret.
I mean, right now, you don't need a big boat. They're close.
No, they are right.
I mean,
they're
super.
Dude, they're
right
on shore.
Yep, I'm seeing them right off the mouth of the Snohomish there. And you can get them from shore, Mukilteo.
Yep,
at the ferry landing there. That whole section, there'll be guys catching pinks there.
Dude, they're turning the corner. If you can get, you can pop over to Whidbey Island and get them on possession. You can, mm-hmm. I mean, it's just it. But like you said, there's a tremendous river opportunity. And the Skagit's filthy with them right now too. You know, yeah, there's a bunch of pinks around.
Yeah, I was up there yesterday. I had to run to Bellingham and bring some herring down and up. So I'm driving by Young's Bar, and I can look over.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just lined up with people plunking over there, and you can see I could see the little silver pinks in the water on stringers, and yeah. And I could see people fighting fish and netting fish.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of pink opportunity. The Snohomish, they're roping them in there too. Not as much access for
right.
people from the
That's
bank.
True.
So the Skagit, if you want to catch them from the bank, if you don't have a boat, get up to the Skagit because there's just a ton. There's probably, the forecast was for probably about 1 million, and I've heard a lot of people say upwards of 2 million.
It's light. It's going to be interesting to see a run construction this year with regard to both pinks and Chinook, definitely. Because
what's this low water going to do, you think? I mean, there's not a ton of water. If you look at the Skykomish.
And we're going to get a shot of rain, the forecast is tonight, in through tomorrow.
But it's not
enough.
It's nothing.
It's not going to bring the rivers up. But it just kind of starts that whole process though, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get some soil moisture back up, and don't be wishing for rain yet, because I mean it's going to come, and when it does, the effect is just profound with how it changes the distribution. But yeah, the low water, if as long as it's not too warm, they'll start entering the rivers. You know, and I remember a few years ago when we had that no snowpack and drought during the blob and all that kind of stuff, we had a lot of pre-spawn mortality, and we had extremely low. We had extremely low stream flows, and so they were under thermal stress, and you coupled that with no food in the ocean, and so you had undersized pinks that were coming in here and eating all the gear they could find because they weren't finding anything to eat out there. So, but that's not really the case this year. All these pinks are healthy, dude. They've been eating so well. So they're going to enter the river and just, spawn the place up filthy. So, which is going to be wonderful.
And then we could see if they spawn and everything goes good and we don't get some big blowout,
we could
see a massive, massive run in 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just great for the river system. So get out there and get your pinks. And listen, even if you're a downrigger guy anyway, you're going to go, oh, Nelly, I'm going to go downrigger fish. That's fine. Just use lighter rods. And with those lighter rods, use lighter releases, okay? Like if you're using an offshore red, go to an offshore black or even a kokanee release. And just use straight bait. Try that. Try little tiny, firecracker cut plugs. They'll whack those things too. And just playing them without, standard 360 flasher on them.
And if you're going to run little tiny cut plugs, you're going to catch pinks, but you're also going to catch coho.
You're definitely going to catch coho.
And you kind of mentioned it, and we had a text here with these big coho around, which we've heard of some big coho.
Yeah.
Upper teen fish and hatchery fish too. So I think we may see a 18-pound coho win that derby.
Oh, and that's from the 425. With all these larger silvers being caught, how large do you see an Edmonds coho derby fish weighing?
This may be one of those years where we see a big old chunker.
I want to say Edmonds is gutted and gilled, and Edmonds is in 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Edmonds is in 2 weeks, and the Everett Coho Derby, the big kahuna of them all, pretty interesting. This is definitely going to be interesting. Gutted and gilled in the Edmonds Derby, probably
15.
Yeah, I'll even give you a 16 pounder, but I think to take the Everett, it's going to be a 19 in the round.
Yeah,
it's going to be a big one, and it would not amaze me completely if it came from the river.
Yeah,
hard to say.
Yeah,
it has in the past.
A lot of the time it comes from the river.
Yeah,
but
no question.
I don't know. I think a lot of those fish, without this rain, they may be just staying out there.
Yep.
There's plenty of feed to keep them out there in the sun.
And I was actually talking to Jeff Lone yesterday at Bayside, where the Derby's going to take place. We have a Derby, and the Derby boat's already there. Bremarine Electronics, Yamaha Power, just, I mean, yeah,
all the good stuff.
Bernowin mounts. Yeah. Dude, that thing is going to be a great boat for somebody. So that's going to be cool in a couple weeks. So a lot of great stuff coming up. All right, we're going to pop out of here a quick break. If you're not over it yet, if you're not over Chinook yet, there's still going to be some opportunity above Bonneville. And you know, when Matt Chandler and I called to talk this week, it was kind of before this closure came down that closed the river from Bonneville. Well, it's going to, but there's still an opportunity for Chinook this weekend. Then things are going to change drastically. Matt Chandler, GetHookedNW.com, joining us next. Turn that door line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Welcome to the BOMAC Tech Line. BOMAC has all the gear for all your techniques, and SMI Shellfish gear is simply the best. BOMAC, we catch big fish.
Log on to GetHookedNW.com. That's the website of our next guest, none other than Matt Chandler. How you doing there, buddy? Matt?
Good, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Last time I saw you, you called me into a bite over there by Warrington.
He was very generous while we were down there at
Buoy 10.
It was my pleasure.
Yeah. So look back a little bit on that whole Buoy 10 season. It was pretty solid out there, buddy.
I thought so. I will agree. A lot of fish.
Yeah, and decent size this year too. So anyway, it was fun seeing you down there. But now, you know, things have changed. In fact, things have changed so drastically, Matt, even from when we spoke earlier this week to now, we got a regulation change that is going to shift things around a little bit. So give us a run through what's going on down the Big Creek there.
Yeah, so they're going to close things down here as of today. Actually, it's closed all the way to Warrior Rock. You can still fish below Tongue Point for coho, and starting on Tuesday, it's going to be closed all the way to Bonneville. But it'll still, like I said, be open down in Astoria for coho, but Kings will be entirely shut down.
And so are you going to move your program above Bonneville, or are you going to drop back down to Astoria? How's that going to affect how and where you're doing business?
Yeah, so I'm going to make some calls, obviously, to my customers in Tennessee, logistics and all that. Bonneville's pretty far. Likely, I'm going to head down to Astoria.
Gotcha.
The coho limit's going to go to 3. Pretty easy decision for me to go down there and have a coho rodeo.
Heck yeah, man. And what is that? Are you running bait? Is it primarily a spinner fishery for those coho down there? And are you working that incoming tide from like Buoy 10 up?
Yeah, so you got it exactly right. I'm actually going to go back to good old school triangle flashers and bait, and a lot of anchovies for coho, and work that incoming tide, start down low, and chase them upriver, up by the shipwreck, and let that tide push them in, and should be pretty good fishing.
And what's it look like down there this time of year? I've never been down there. It's probably a lot of open space. There can't be nearly as many people. It's got to be kind of nice being down there this time of year.
Yeah, exactly. So I think there will be some more people with the closure, but I still think it'll, everyone's going to spread out. Guys are going to go to different places. Hunting starts, right? And so a lot of guys will, move around, but it's going to be not nearly as busy as it was in August. And you can spread out and find those fish. I truly believe there's going to be fish literally everywhere on these next set of big tides that are just going to flood that lower river with coho.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't mean to be crying in my beer here, but it just that whole middle section of the Columbia there, I mean, that was a 360 and spinner show for those Chinook in the middle river.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, it still is. I mean, it's been really, really solid fishing. So what percentage of those fish that are still fair game are upriver brights, and what percentage are you seeing are tules, Matt?
There's a lot of hatchery fish that I believe are lower river tules, and
gotcha.
I just think that there is more fish than in the prediction than what they thought, but I'm also starting to see a lot of URBs, but they don't start coming in till right now, in my opinion, in big waves. But they're definitely here, and there's a lot more coming. They're still out in the ocean. They're still getting them at Westport.
Yeah, they are getting them at Westport. There's no question about it. And so. That's kind of the frustration for everybody too. But the problem is when fish runs are rebounding, they tend to get under forecast. And if they get under forecast, the quotas are set on a lower number. And when higher numbers of fish return,
you suck up
that quota really fast. Yeah. And so
that's right. And so
that's kind of what we've been up against. And we've seen it, dude, all through the state. We've seen it in all of our saltwater Chinook fisheries up here, Matt. And now it's kind of manifested itself down there. But, you know, at least the guys got the ocean through Labor Day, except in Owako. But so if given that's the case, and we're seeing a whole bunch more coho moving in, there is a chance that you may be able to go upriver and target coho a little bit later, at least from that tongue point to Bonneville, if we get enough fish passed. Is that something you target, or would you then move on up above Bonneville to target Chinook then?
Yeah, I'll definitely consider going up above Bonneville to target some Chinook, and just like I said, kind of depends on what people are interested in doing. Coho are, you know, really good eaters and a lot of action. But yeah, I will definitely go up above Bonneville and chase kings around. Just kind of dependent on the dam counts and see what we see.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, and that's the thing to watch is those dam counts and see how many fish are going over the dam up there. I think it's going to be pretty impressive here in the next 2-3 weeks to see how many fish are floating over that dam.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's not going to be an egg take situation in any of the hatcheries. I know that. There's going to be lots of fish back on the spawning grounds, which is a wonderful thing. Matt, we thank you for your time this morning. He's Matt Chandler, gethookednorthwest.com, gethookednw.com. Matt, thank you for your time. Keep in touch, man.
Thanks. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Matt.
Go get him, buddy.
Talk to you soon. All right, coming up next, Raymarine Picks of the Week here for Labor Day weekend right here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN. See ya.
Welcome to the Outdoor Line Picks of the Week, presented by Raymarine Electronics. Don't just go fishing, go hunting underwater. Raymarine, simply superior.
I have a confession to make, and it's a fact that I'm addicted to that audio system that we got on the boat. It's powered by Rockford Fosgate, and you have complete control of it through your Raymarine display. Multifunction navigation isn't just fish finders and chart plotters. You can add your radar to it, autopilot to it, but it's also your stereo and just about everything else. It's your engine gauge package and the whole bit. It simplifies how you run your boat. Multifunction navigation available at Raymarine, raymarine.com. So we do spend a little bit of time listening to it. It's Yacht Rock Radio primarily, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of Yacht Rock. Yep.
Probably a little too much of that. But
when I get down there before you in the morning, I change it up a little bit while I'm getting the bait ready, getting the rods ready. Just, you know, because I know I'm going to hear some Yacht Rock during the day.
Oh, yeah.
So I just want to clean my palate.
No, I understand, dude. It even wore me out. When they
we did a 3/4 through the season switch.
We did. Yeah, I just
and it felt good.
It did. It was, you know, I couldn't do Toto Africa again. I just had to get away from it. So, all right, you know, we're thinking pink out there in the salt water, but we're hoping for a silver lining. So, you know, you can go right now, target coho, and you're still going to catch pinks.
Yeah, you can go target flounder, and you're going to catch pinks. Yeah, I bet. I mean, there's just a lot of them out there.
There is, but you know, here's the thing. We're still way ahead of the peak of this coho fishery, and they're coming in really, really good numbers. And 710 powered by Yamaha Outboards. We had somebody concerned that all the saltwater closes down after the 19th of September. No, hold on. That's just Marine Area 8. Okay,
yeah.
Closes down on September 19th. We still have Area 9 Admiralty Inlet open
till the end of the month.
You have Area 10 waters right off here off Seattle open up through October. Okay, so until November 1st.
Yeah, and we also have Area 6 open and
through
a lot
September,
of guys.
Yeah,
a lot of guys forget that there's a lot of cool stuff out there in Area.
There's
6.
There's a bunch.
I'm not going to tell them what it is, but
no,
there's
but
a bunch of stuff out there that's really cool, and you can be out there fishing, and there's not going to be a lot of people, and there's you're going to be on the front edge of that wave of coho.
Well,
and you may be a little bit past all those pinks, so you have a better opportunity to target.
It's like choking up on the bat, man.
There you go.
Come around quicker.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, and even, you know, if you want to talk about getting ahead of the wave, there's also a lot of really, really cool stuff on the Whidbey Island side of Marine Area 9. I'm talking about Bush Point, Lagoon Point, all those places, even Double Bluff.
Yeah.
And that proverbial riptide that's always there off of Double Bluff.
Which is, that's a coho.
That's a coho
draw.
Magnet.
They just suck into that.
And so, if you're looking for good numbers of coho and you're sick of catching pinks every 32 seconds on possession bar, then just go a little bit farther north and go troll that rip. Remember, people are so stuck in their structure fishing ways and mindset. You know, you got to throw out your Chinook playbook and look for surface disturbances, look for bait, and you'll find them in the rips. You're going to find coho in the rips, and that is some of the funnest stuff that you can do. Start, get your kicker motor in gear and put a cup plug just below the kicker. I mean, four strips on a little bit of the sinker, because that surface disturbance of your kicker will call coho up to your boat.
Yeah, for some reason, coho.
And leave the drag loose, because they'll pull your rod overboard.
Yeah, maybe. They love that, you know. They're like a dolphin. They want to come right up and check out whatever that disturbance is. And yeah, a lot of times, I remember as a kid, there'd be that rod right there, just a few pulls out with a dropper and a cup plug. And that thing would get hammered.
Yeah, and it's fun to watch that. I mean, you know, we talk about all year about, you know, catching Chinook without the downriggers and watching the strikes. I mean, that's as close to a buoy 10 mushroom cloud strike as you're going to find in Puget Sound, is fishing a little light lead and getting that thing. And seriously, you don't got to go 20 strips. I mean, even 5 strips, just right behind the boat and right next to the kicker.
And coho strikes are probably more violent than Chinook. It'll be like, you know, your rod will pump and then it'll fold over and bury. But a lot of times those coho, just because they swim so fast and they feed so aggressively, your rod will just, I mean, it's like they try to break it. It'll just fold and then they're gone, right? So they swim up, grab it, turn, and pew, they're off.
So if you're doing that, if you're going to fish the rips, you know, and do that kind of program and kind of troll along, you know, and fairly shallow, which you should be doing, you got to leave your drags fairly loose.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, they're just, you know, they're going to break stuff. They're going to definitely break stuff, which is fun.
Yeah.
And so given the good food source they have out there, despite the fact that the pink's been eating them out of house and home ahead of them, there's some big coho this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we'll see. We even saw some coho, you know, down at Buoy 10 that were rivaling Chinook in size. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
A couple days.
Definitely.
A couple days. We got a 12, 13-pound hatchery coho.
Yes.
You know, beautiful big fish. And, you know, in Marine Area 9, you got to let the wild ones go, but still there's some big clippers out there, right? And also at Area 2 is, excuse me, Area 8.
8-1
is non-selective.
Yes.
The area of 8-2 that's open is selective, okay?
Yes.
So if you want to just, you know, take that fin clip deal out of the equation, obviously Marine Area 10 is not selective, or Marine Area 11 too.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I talked to Bob Buchanan down there yesterday, and yeah, they were, you know, he got a couple beautiful big coho fast.
Yeah. Well, right? I mean, guys are going out and getting their limit.
Yeah.
They're limiting on coho. So normally, when you see these big coho, you think, well, big coho, maybe we're not going to get that big of a run. But it feels like there's going to be a bunch.
I think there are. I think there are. I mean,
when guys are going out and getting their limit this time of year, early, I think we're going to see a pretty healthy run.
So, you know, and our friend Mike Sertic, Ray Marine, just sent us a screenshot. They're running out. They're running from CQ to Nia Bay right now. You know, a beautiful sunrise, and which is, you know, colored up by all that smoke in eastern Washington right now. But what I'm hearing is there's still just a massive body of coho just off of Nia Bay that's coming in.
Well, we're going to find out, because they're out there for the next couple of days.
Right.
And we'll get a good report out of them.
And our friend Kenny Daynard at CQ, I spent some time on the phone with him this week, and he says most of those pinks are through CQ now. But there's going to be some phenomenal coho fishing out of Marine Area 5 as well. But you know, basically, it's, you know, we're past the peak of the pinks, which is fine. So if you target coho, you're still going to catch a few pinks if you want them.
Mm-hmm.
And but again, just by just kind of altering your techniques a little bit, by trolling faster than you would for pinks, by trolling shallower than you would for pinks, and mm-hmm. staying even farther away from structure, you're going to get out on bites all by yourself.
Yeah, and you can't really troll too fast.
No.
Coho like it fast.
They do.
And they're going to chase it down and kill it.
Yeah.
So speed it up, and you're going to really weed out the pinks.
Yeah. Yeah, and Coho won it fast.
And anyway. Look, if you catch a pink who chases that down that fast, hey,
he's worthy.
He deserves it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Put him in the fish box. Put him on ice. And we got a beautiful weather window. So, you know, you talked about the effect of rainfall on the distribution of these fish out in the salt water. And you know, I mean, I'm seeing a 10-day that has a cloudy, maybe a little bit of rain, you know, rain through the weekend. Monday's going to be nice, and then I don't see a drop of rain, you know, for another week, right? So, you know, we're going to get one of these, you know, late summer pushes of warmer temps, which are going to, until we get significant water in our rivers, these coho are going to continue to build. And so, you know, coming up into a couple derbies here, too, it's just going to be fun as heck. The other thing that's going on through this weekend that we're not going to have a chance to talk about again for a while are the last 3 days of Dungeness crabbing here in Puget Sound, Joey.
Yeah. So I was out on the water Wednesday and Thursday, like I said, early mornings. And here's what I saw. I saw a lot of crab. You know, I'm anchoring my boat in 4 feet of water and then pulling the hose up onto the beach. So I'm walking back and forth. And there's a bunch of crab up in the shallows. Like, I can just see them. Yeah. Nice, big, keeper-sized Dungeness. So as, you know, we move later into the summer, we always say, well, it's time to start crabbing deeper. But I know some guys. I had a guy call me about 10 days ago, and he goes, hey, man, the crabbing is great out there. And I noticed everybody was out off the edge of the bar. I went up into the shallows and put my pots up in the shallows, and he said there's a ton of crab up there. So think about that.
So two things are happening there, okay? Number one, we're getting out of this middle of the day, low tide, when the sun is high in the sky, tide cycle, right?
Yeah.
And so when those bars and the shallows heat up in the July and August sun, right, the water comes over them. You know, they're, again, direct relationship between water temperatures and dissolved oxygen levels. Those crab are not that comfortable up in that warm water.
Yeah, the sand is
hot.
80 degrees,
dude,
and then the water comes
smoking
in
smoking hot,
and you feel that water. It's like 70 degrees.
It's bath water. Right?
Now. Yeah. I'm walking up there, and the water is cold.
And that's why those crab are moving up in there.
Moving back up in there.
So that's one of the things that happened. The other is guys haven't, you know, fallen out of that deep water habit yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's less effort up in that shallower water. And so there's just going to be more dungies. Because, you know, think of the Dungeness crab population as a conveyor belt of crab that move up from the depths of Puget Sound, you know. And Puget Sound is, you know, nothing more than an underwater mountain valley, right? I mean, if you look at it, it's, you know, we got mountains and big hills on both sides of it. It's just this huge, big, deep canyon. I mean, there's parts of Puget Sound that are 600-700 feet deep.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, I'm not saying there's crab all along the bottom of it, but there's a lot of crab.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a vast
resource,
dude. It really is. In Puget
Sound. We're shrimping at 300 to 340 feet, we used to shrimp pretty deep. You'd pull your pots up, and there'd be these big crab hanging onto the outside.
Monsters.
Of it. You know there's big crab down there at 300, 400 feet.
I have not put a pot too deep in Puget Sound to catch crab.
No.
And there's 400-foot shots on our gear, no question about it. So, and you're still going to get them deep. But it's the last 3 days, and word on the street is that we were probably going to get a winter season.
Crab for Christmas. Okay.
Crab for Christmas.
I like
we're
that.
Sure hoping. Jam-packed hour two, our dear brother Robbo, one last time from Haida Gwaii, because we're pulling his butt back in the studio next Saturday where he can go back to work here.
Kicking and screaming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. No, he's looking forward to getting home.
Yeah.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, and then of course, we're going to pop over to Canyon River Ranch, talk to our good buddy Joe Roeder, who just popped a big bear. September on the Yakima, big rainbows, a lot of bug hatches going on. The river's lower, lends itself to wading and do-it-yourself angling. You got to know about that. And listen, if you have a dog that's looking at you, giving you dirty looks lately, get that dog out over some pheasants, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then your dog and you will reunite and be friends after a long summer of you not taking the dog in the truck in the morning, okay? All that, the Roy Robinson RV is really wearing a pile more. Stay tuned for Jam-Packed Hour 2 right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.